When the racists gathered in Charlottesville, wanted to generate maximum fear and dread, they targeted a treasured university campus and a historic church where diverse interfaith leaders were gathered for prayer. Those same leaders were targeted in the streets of the city the next day. This is something new. Even as some religion has been complicit in America's ugly history of racism, going so far in the opposite direction as to threaten faith leaders directly? Hard to even grasp. With me now is Rabbi Jack Moline, president of Interfaith Alliance and a longtime resident of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Jack, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Welton. You know, I always enjoy talking with you.
What were your first thoughts as the news of Charlottesville started breaking last weekend?
Well, I have to say, my wife is an alumna of the University of Virginia. My daughter, Jenny, who was an intern for Interfaith Alliance, is an alumna of Virginia, and she works for Governor McAuliffe. So aside from the same sense of disbelief that I had watching CNN reports of what was going on back in the States, I'm talking to you from Europe right now, mm-hmm. I was just distressed beyond belief because I know how precious Charlottesville and its history of tolerance is to the people who live in the Commonwealth. And this was almost beyond belief. Well, I happened to be today in the city of Vienna, Austria. And earlier today, I was standing in the spot looking up at the balcony where thousands and thousands of Austrians welcomed a newly victorious Adolf Hitler. Vienna is an exquisite city, Welton. It is a city of music. It's a city of culture. The architecture just oozes a sense of the higher aspirations of life. It is the home of some of the great minds of our generation, people who were nurtured by the rich culture here. And yet, the people went crazy when they felt they were being threatened, and they felt they were being threatened because that threat was manufactured from the top. I am more alarmed than ever about what I'm seeing in the United States. And please don't suggest that I'm comparing the president of the United States and the former dictator of the Third Reich. I am not. The phenomenon I'm looking at is a country and a culture with a rich depth of tolerance and perspective that went crazy because there weren't powerful, sane voices willing to stand up and say, this is not the way. Every faith leader in America has the responsibility to stand up in her or his pulpit and say to their congregants, this is not the way.
What does it mean that the moral authority of a broad group of interfaith leaders seems to have been completely ignored by the racists?
It means that when you have a true believer in any ideology, that facts and reason don't matter. And that's what we're dealing with here. Well, you and I thought we were dealing with ideologues in government for a lot of years. And we understood how difficult it was to bring them around to a rational and tolerable understanding of what pluralism means in this country. But I never seen nothing like this before.
Yeah. Would you talk about how Interfaith Alliance has responded to these tragic events?
Well, we've been reaching out to our partners across the spectrum, both inside Virginia and outside of Virginia. And, of course, we've joined a chorus of voices that have called for calm, that have called for mutual appreciation, that have called for human dignity, and that have urged the leadership of this country, and particularly the President of the United States, to step up and do the right thing and make sure that the folks who are responsible for this mess are marginalized. It's been frustrating, and it's been hard, but we're working on it.
In your work with lawmakers, what is your sense of how seriously they take the threat of white supremacy and anti-Semitism in our nation?
my sense is that on a personal level, it is probably the case that most of these legislators are well informed about what constitutes the real terrorism in this country, which is not some manufactured sense of foreign invasion, but the extremism that has been cultivated right here in the continental United States. I think they take that very seriously on a personal level. My sense is that as you move farther along toward the conservative end of the political spectrum, that there are no votes in that kind of conviction, perhaps until now. And particularly people who find themselves in the majority in both houses of Congress right now have been reluctant to go up against people who are laying claim to being part of their base. Now, I know Republicans better than to think that they are pandering to the radical right, at least the racist political right. Mm-hmm. But they also know that votes are precious these days, that margins are slim, and they have a terrible moral dilemma right now, as well as practical dilemma. I hope they make the right choices.
Many Congress people have responded to this horrendous tragedy by denouncing the racism, the alt-right, all of those things. But none of them, maybe one or two, Lindsey Graham being one of them, has actually said the president has to do something here. We've got to say to the president, he's not doing the right thing. He's hurting our nation. What do you think it's going to take for members of Congress to give up on a tone-deaf Donald Trump when it comes to this issue?
Well, I think what it's going to take is an indication that supporting the president is an electoral liability. I have not a lot of confidence, particularly that members of the House of Representatives who aren't already opposed to the president's actions are going to risk their seat by coming out against the president if they have a sense that their population still supports him. So I think it falls, frankly, to the people who have the most influence in those districts over what people think. And those are not political leaders. Those are the faith leaders in those communities, the teachers, the local politicians, to wake up their constituents, their congregants, their parishioners, to the moral imperative of making sure that this country continues to conduct itself with its best aspirations in mind, not its basis aspirations, which seems to me to be what the president is representing right now.
What role do you see for Interfaith Alliance as tensions and divisions continue to grow, and how can our listeners get involved?
We, like everybody else, well, I have to tell you, we're scrambling. I've been already in conversation with some folks in Virginia about what we might do on a very local level in all of the legislative districts to begin a conversation across the chasm that has formed between people far to the right and people far to the left. What Charlottesville illustrated for us is something much deeper than political disagreement and, frankly, even than faith disagreement. The entire future of our country rests on being able to maintain the values that have allowed us to disagree without being enemies. And so if people are interested in having these conversations across political boundaries, across faith boundaries, Interfaith Alliance stands ready and willing to help. And if you're willing to organize something in your community, if you're listening out there and that's what you want to do, please let us know, and we will help you get the resources to get that started.
Rabbi Jack Moline is president of Interfaith Alliance, defending true religious freedom. Jack, thanks for taking time out of your travels today to get in touch with us. It's always great to have you on State of Belief Radio and to be a partner right now is important more than ever. Thank you for being here.